Welcome to the first episode of Apartment 504. My name is Ashley.
I'm Emily.
And we are two roommates who no longer live together, actually.
Former roommates.
And we now live across the country from one another, but we were bonded by our love for pop culture when we lived together.
Yes.
So, Emily, I thought it would be helpful for us to start by just telling people and sharing with people I feel like we complement each other very well because we occupy, we have our own, like, media diets and regimens, I guess, that we consume, and I feel like we occupy very different spaces, which I think is very helpful.
But there's also a lot of overlap.
Definitely a lot of overlap for, like, Vulture.
Yeah, and just, like, Disney, and, like, okay. Not, like, nostalgic Disney, but, like, lame Disney, like, High School Musical.
Yeah, okay, that's for sure. So, why don't you just tell people about, like, what is your daily, like, pop culture, like, ingestion look like?
So definitely Daily Mail snap stories. they keep me so up to date on the world, which I really appreciate. Although I have learned that it is not really appropriate to say that you love the Daily Mail in London because people will think you're like dumb trash.
Oh, okay.
I think it's like the journalistic equivalent of like almost the National Enquirer.
Is this really?
This is what I have learned.
Wow.
I literally said I love the Daily Mail to Harry, my British friend, and he was like, you shouldn't say that out loud. But their celebrity news is very great. Mm-hmm. Their coverage is very comprehensive. A little too much Bella Thorne for my taste. But
are they a trusted source for you?
Well, they just have a lot of pictures, so
okay.
I really appreciate that. Their like commentary is always really stupid.
Okay.
But they have a lot of pictures. So it's that, and then it's just Vulture all day, every day.
Mm-hmm. And I think you go way deeper on Vulture than I do.
Yes.
Okay.
100%. It's
a little, I think, literally every headline you read.
Yes.
Okay. Is that all?
And then, yeah, I think that's the main source. And Twitter. Just a lot of Twitter.
Twitter, okay.
And you're much more on the Twitter than I am.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm on Twitter every single day, multiple times a day. I'm on Oh No They Didn't, which you actually introduced me to.
Wait, you still go on Oh No They Didn't?
Every day.
What?
And I go 10 pages deep.
Do you feel the quality of their content has maintained?
Not at all. But I've gotten really good at filtering. So, like,
wow. I am so impressed that you're still on Oh No They Didn't. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Which I didn't read at all until you introduced it to me. And if I do get really bored, I read Just Jared.
Oh.
And I go 10 pages deep on that one, too. Yeah. Only when I'm, like, really want something to read, though. And then I feel like I'm on YouTube, where you're not.
Oh, you're so much more into the YouTube world than me. Entertainment Weekly. That's one that I'm on fairly frequently.
Oh, okay. Wait,
what do you do on YouTube?
I just watch it, like,
but, like, watch what?
Like, not for, like, pop culture news, but just, yeah. Like, the vlogger sphere, like, very familiar.
Okay.
I find that I don't even watch that much TV these days. And I'm just watching YouTube a lot of YouTube.
Wait, I feel like you're reverse aging.
Oh, yeah, I know. It makes me feel really young.
That's what
I feel.
That's what not even millennials, like Gen X is doing.
It makes me feel really Gen X, and it makes me actually feel really good.
It actually makes me feel really good.
Okay. So thanks for that introduction. And so we have a couple topics we want to talk about today. What do you want to start with?
What was the first one? I forgot. Gorgeous, obviously.
Okay, so we waited to talk about this. For background information, if you've been living under a rock, Taylor Swift released one of her new songs off her new album, upcoming album, called Gorgeous. You and I have not talked about it, but I feel like we've read the same same articles about it, and I think we know the general critical response.
I'm looking up the lyrics right now because, so when I told Kirstie to watch listen to the song, I told her to watch it with the lyric video.
Yeah.
Usually I don't appreciate lyric videos, but I feel like this one really enhanced the experience for me.
I watched it first. I mean, I heard it for the first time lyric video also. Why did you think that it enhanced?
No, you didn't feel that?
I felt that it made it even more dumb in my mind because it just like made the lyrics just so, so in general, I thought the song was was vapid. Obviously it's like kind of, it is about that, but, I don't know, and I feel like I'm judging her unfairly, but just kind of just made me think that, like, in a world where, like, so much is happening and you could address so many things, like, it just felt particularly vapid, I don't know, to me.
I feel like we could just spend this whole podcast talking about Taylor Swift because, I mean, we could.
Yeah.
No, so, okay, I have so many thoughts.
Okay.
But, I mean, so it is vapid, but I was very conflicted and I didn't know how to think about it, which was literally why I was, like, waiting for that Vulture article, because I'm like, if she's doing it all purposely, right, like, is she leaning into it deliberately to be, like, tongue-in-cheek and, like, ironic? Mm-hmm, and if so, then I, like, feel like it's just a great, easy pop song. But I couldn't tell. I was confused by if she was trying to be really cheeky or if she's genuinely just, like, making this song and purposely being super hyperbolic and, you know.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell. That's why I was confused and conflicted.
So you're saying it could be the, like, the blank space of this album.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like she's kind of taking a Mean Girls vibe, and that's sort of, like, the vibe that she, the persona she was putting on for this song.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is okay as a songwriter to do. But if she wasn't, then, yeah, it's just dumb.
Yeah, I see the other side of what you're saying, because I think she could just be truly, I think everyone, it's been, it, she has also confirmed that the song is about her current boyfriend, Joe.
Via Tumblr, her media of choice, yes. Interestingly.
Yes. And which is like, and maybe she's like just super in love. Like maybe she, that is like what she wanted to write about. But I do want to say that I feel like lyrically, and this is what the lyric video stuck out to me, was that it was lyrically not at all on par with, like, you know, which is like what I was also disappointed with.
Okay. But then that leads to just the fact that the first line she talks about being drunk, like, whoa, Taylor.
Oh, that's what I didn't get. Yeah.
And the whiskey on ice. I mean,
like, I guess it's like, I've always known that she drinks, but I don't know why she's leaning into to just publicly acknowledging it so much now.
It's not so much. It's like one line in a song.
There's a lot of, yeah, there is a lot of the, I also didn't like the whiskey and, yeah, those lyrics, Sunset and Vine.
Well, I think there was a specific line in the article that mentioned how they're just, like, very cliche and not creative.
Yeah.
But going back to what you were saying about how, like, there are other things that she could be talking about, I have literally had so many long, in-depth debates about this. It's just, like, she has gotten so much crap for, you know, like, the election and not speaking out. It's like, you know, this is a larger conversation, but, like, what is the role of her, you know? It's, like, I do feel like sometimes she gets unfairly attacked for for that.
Yeah.
No,
fair, because I did actually think about, like, other people. Obviously, you know, you have, like, Demi Lovato, who we're going to talk about later, but sorry, not sorry, you know, not addressing anything serious at all either.
Right.
So, yeah, I do think that there's unfair judgment there, but, yeah, that was just...
Because it's, like, yeah, I mean, that's just a general conversation about, like, what role do we want celebrities and pop stars to play, right? Mm-hmm. Like, do we want them to be these megaphones for ideas, because that can go terribly wrong as well. And so I just always am very conflicted as to, like, whether or not I want to judge her for that. I mean, there are a lot of other things we can judge her for. Although, in general, you know what? I know that she's dumb, and I agree, but I do feel like she's getting really raked through the coals recently.
That's true. And from a marketing perspective for this album, I've noticed that she's kind of repeating what she's done in the past.
Really?
Which is not bad. She's doing the private listening sessions in her home.
But I feel like it's been so much more low-key this time.
That's true.
It was so publicized
for
1989.
Like, there was videos for every single one of them.
Yeah, and she's been, I feel like she's been super low-key. And she had that Instagram post about how, like, there will be no whatever, like, no media or whatever.
For the whole
release.
Yeah,
she was talking
about how, like, she just,
yeah, sessions. No, about, like, the release.
No, yeah, I was actually thinking, I didn't see that, but I was like, I think she might go Beyonce in the way that she, like, she probably, will she ever do a live interview ever again?
Has Beyonce not done a live interview ever?
Like, she hasn't done one for, like, at least, like, 5 years.
Like, you mean, like, a written, like, profile or, like, an actual
on-camera? An actual on-camera interview. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she only speaks, like, through Instagram.
What?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. I guess you can get away with that when you're Beyonce.
Yeah, which I think Taylor could get away with, too, which might actually be smart as well. So I'm actually really curious how she's going to handle the rest of this release, because obviously there are a lot of things that people want to ask her about.
Yeah. Did you see that Us Weekly article about how it's, like, the album is supposedly very, like, catty and petty, and it just goes, like, one by one against all the claims that have been made against
I did read about that.
I really hope that's not true.
I hope so. I also saw the track list, and Future and Ed Sheeran are one
the
of the features.
The track list is that?
On Ona, they didn't, which is, I mean, who do, I don't know if we trust that, but I did read something that Future is featured on the article, on the album,
how
which I think
about
is
that?
Just... I can't even go there. Like, that's like the last thing that, I don't know. It's like the worst thing she could have done in my head.
Wait, really?
I don't know.
You know,
so,
okay, so your forte is definitely the rap world. All I know about Future is that he's Ciara's baby daddy. But I know nothing about him.
I mean, he's definitely
so
like the hot rapper right now.
Is
if you
he?
Were to, if you were to, feature anyone, it would.
Wait, why?
Okay, not
Since
anyone.
When?
It would probably be like Quavo or like, if you were really trying to be, like, on top of it, but I don't know. I think because it's Future and Ed Sheeran both on the song.
Oh, on the same track.
On the same track. So I think I could see Ed Sheeran being the brain, like, the mastermind around behind it.
I would listen to that.
Yeah, so I think it could actually end up being cool, but I'm just, like...
Is it just me? Do you do this when I'm looking at, like, an album listing, that an album that's come out? I always listen to the songs with, like, featured people first.
I do, but I also, yeah, and features have been, like, a really big topic, too. Like, nowadays, Demi Lovato, her only feature is Lil Wayne.
Really?
Yeah. Also very
I don't
random.
Understand Lil Wayne.
Yeah, so... features have become really big in music lately, and it actually is it's a big deal when an album is released with no features at all. So
who does that?
There was somebody that I forgot, but yeah, it's because, you know, a lot of people these days are trying to pull, you know, more fans and more listens through their features. So anyways, we could talk about Taylor all day.
We could.
But
I liked it musically, I'll say that. I enjoy it as a song to listen to.
You do?
I'm also just, I will talk about Taylor and I'll talk crap about her, but at the end of the day, I love all her music. I hated Look What You Made Me Do, and now I love it. I hated it when it came out. It was, I thought it was stupid.
I know, you did hate it, I remember that.
I had a very strong adverse reaction to it, and now I'm like, yeah, that's my jam.
Wow, that's really good to hear. I would have to say out of the first three, I like, Ready for it.
Yeah, I would agree. But, like, I don't mind Look What You Made Me Do anymore. Okay. I think I almost like it because it's so dumb. It's kind of fun to just, like, say the lyrics.
I'm also just, like, I don't understand why you've decided to not sing anymore. Like, even on Gorgeous, she's barely singing.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the lyric video, I thought it did highlight the dumbness of the song, which I thought was, like, I'm like, is this what you're going for? Because if so, you're highlighting it and it's working.
Right.
But I guess we'll see. I am so excited for her album.
I'm very curious. There's been so excited. A lot of ladies with new music actually recently, and I think Taylor will be one of the finales to it. But one of those women was Demi Lovato.
Demi.
And we want to talk about, we have so many thoughts about Simply Complicated.
Which I haven't seen, so I feel
you haven't seen it?
Wait, I told you.
Emily, okay, so you haven't done proper research for this
podcast. I know, I'm sorry.
Okay, I watched it in preparation for this podcast.
Also didn't realize this podcast was actually happening. Like, I thought Ashley was kidding when she said we're gonna podcast.
Okay, so maybe we'll just speak off like a general information.
Wait, can you just share with me the highlights? Because
oh my gosh,
now I want to know.
Absolutely. So this is a documentary that Demi has released on YouTube.
Interesting
channel choice. Yes. And it's in coordination with her new album that was released a couple weeks ago. So, and it addresses her her alcohol addiction or substance abuse
yeah.
and as well as her eating disorder, which I will tell you. So what I really appreciate about it is one, they did not address like anybody else in the, for example, Selena Gomez. I know we want to get to that.
That's really what I want to know.
It didn't address like any of the other players, which I appreciate. It was very focused on her. And then it also, I don't know about you, but I've actually followed Demi very closely for a very long time. She's one
Since
of my
her Camp Rock days.
So, do you know about her Stay Strong tattoos on her wrists?
Yes.
Okay, so she did have that episode where she was cutting and then came out and said Stay Strong. It kind of started there, actually. The way that the interview starts is that she is nervous about the interview because the last time she did an interview, she was high and she was talking about staying strong. So, I really appreciate that it just jumped forward. It didn't review, like, that past stuff, and it just jumped forward to, yeah, her actual addiction and what happened leading up to her
backup dancer
altercation, yeah. So, basically, she has definitely conquered, I think, the substance and alcohol abuse part, and
but, like, how can you trust that? Because she's said, like, talk about that, how she was claiming to be, like, sober and living this great life, but she was, like, high the whole time.
Fair. Yeah, I definitely had those thoughts as well.
Doesn't that undermine your credibility?
But the one thing, okay, maybe this is what helped it, but she did confess to the fact that eating disorder is still something she deals with, and she has been purging since,
Wilmer.
How do you know all this without reading the
Vulture? They cover this in great detail.
Okay.
This
so
is
we
why
can,
they can be
we
my
can
only
talk
source.
About it. Okay. So I think what we wanted to discuss was where we think Selena Gomez like had a part in this life story of Demi's and what led to their fractured friendship.
Right. Which I'm very pleased to see is like on the mend. I feel like they've just grown up and they're at that point where they're like, we can just be chill.
Is it on the mend? They tweeted each other once.
No. Didn't one of them comment on the other's Instagram or something. I swear. That's I think French. Selena commented on something. That's so at least it's no longer icy, like,
sure.
Ask Taylor.
Ooh.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
That was such a great video.
Okay.
So I was curious, and I sent you a very serious text about this in the middle of the workday. Should I just read it?
Sure.
Okay, but you can talk while I look it up.
Okay, so I've shared my theory that that I think there was no necessarily – that I think as Demi was kind of going south, Taylor was entering Selena's life.
So you're saying that you have a view of Selena being very strategic and, like, almost, like, kind of thinking very about her career and all of this?
I think so. I think it wasn't just her. Yeah, I think I could see also her community, too, telling her to step away.
See, because was – but timeline-wise, we should have done more research on this, because timeline-wise, was all the stuff about Demi even out when their relationship was going down?
Fair, yeah. I don't.
So that's why I was like, okay, so my text was, real question. Does knowing the depths and extent of Demi's substance abuse problems make us think differently of Selena in regard to their relationship and its ultimate demise? Because I was thinking to think – kind of to give her the benefit of the doubt, maybe it just, like, broke her heart to see what Demi was doing to herself and that she wouldn't get help. And so she was like, I have to walk away.
Right.
In which case, it's kind of on Demi.
Right.
Or did she abandon Demi, in which case it's on Selena.
Well, they did address how her management team, I think it sounded like her management team and creative team did have to have some sort of intervention with her. They had the question that, you know, I'm sure everyone around her in her life had to ask the question at one point is, like, when do we walk away? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's true. I could see Selena kind of getting to that point with her. I don't know if I could see them having real confrontation about that.
You think?
I don't think
I feel like theirs that. Was one of the true showbiz friendships that was real.
I could also see it being one where it's like just friends because we grew up together. But because right now I do feel like their interests are very different.
But now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they are very different paths now, I feel like. Right. Also, if I were Demi, side note, I feel like I would really resent Selena career-wise because she is objectively more successful than Demi, but is, I think, objectively less talented.
Right? Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I wonder if that played a role.
That's definitely, like, jealousy in there, I think.
But there, I guess at that point, too, had Selena already skyrocketed or was she already dating Justin when...
Justin? Oh, we didn't think about Justin in this story.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, were they dating then?
That
was later, right?
Yeah, I think it was later. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe he's not as much a factor in this story.
Maybe we'll take a look at the timeline and revisit this topic.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I bet someone out there on Oh No They Didn't has made a timeline of this.
Oh, yes. I will find that.
Okay,
that,
great.
That's my Action area.
AI. Or Ashley.
Okay, we're going to skip this one and just go to a topic that I was very surprised you had so much thought about, one that I had no idea about because, again, this is a source that I don't read, but why don't you share what you learned and what your thoughts are on it?
So Daily Mail, you know, they are really, really on top of the Kardashian coverage, which I really appreciate. And as we all know, it's October, so it's celebrities going to pumpkin patches and getting papped season. there's that, like, one patch in, like, Los Angeles that all the celebrities go to. It's called, like, Mr. Bones. Like, it's ridiculous that I know this, but it's where all the celebrities go.
It's like
the
Runyon of pumpkin patches.
Of pumpkin patches, yeah. I think they go there and they get, like, a good little photo op.
Okay.
So, obviously, Kim Kardashian went to a pumpkin patch with North, and they're just really cute pictures of the fam, like, out and about, and that's great. North was wearing this, like, t-shirt, this, like, oversized t-shirt, which is kind of their whole aesthetic, right? This, like, athletic... athleisure thing, which is fine, but it was this t-shirt that had that kind of, like, sort of graffiti spray paint art style of Nas, which, great rapper, respect, but I don't know, I just, and I hate talking about celebrities' kids because I feel like they should be off limits, and, you know, you do you, you're a child, but, like, just let your kid dress like a kid. Like, I just felt like it seems weird to, like, you know, obviously he's a great rapper, but there's still, like, you know, some maybe unsavory things associated with him and his past and, you know, comments he's made or, you know, contents of his lyrics. And it just kind of seemed like an odd juxtaposition to me to, like, have a, like, how old is North? 6-year-old child, like, be a billboard for something that's sort of associated. But I don't know. Maybe I have, like, prejudices and stereotypes that I'm bringing to the table. But...
Okay, so you're concerned more about, like, Kim's parenting or that in what she's choosing to dress her child in or what... like North not having the freedom to dress.
No, I mean, it was really just a passing thought where I don't feel like it reflects on her parenting. It's like she was completely covered. And, you know, I think that's not a judgment that I can make. It was more just like, I was just like, why? Why not let your kids dress like kids?
Well, because what do you think was the conversation that led to wearing that shirt? Because I could see, like, I could see just having a bunch of shirts and North just liked the colors.
Like, perhaps, but I feel like Kim very much has her aesthetic, and Kanye very much influenced by Kanye, right. I think. And it just kind of seems like she really wants her children to, like, fit into this, like, family picture of, like, how her and Kanye dress. Mm-hmm. But in my head, it's just, like, I don't know, they're kids. Let them dress like kids, right? Yeah. Like, cute little fuzzy things with animals on them. And
that's true.
But that, I mean, it's neither here nor there. I just kind of was like, why not just let her dress like a six-year-old?
Kids' clothes are kind of ugly a lot of times now that
I think about it. But they can be so cute, too.
That's true.
I mean,
but yeah, if you think about it, like, kids' clothes, which are normally, like, very colorful, very, like, you know, it doesn't actually fit with the Kanye Yeezy aesthetic.
Yeah, it doesn't at all. And also, we could just talk about the Kardashian aesthetic in general. I just don't understand it. But, I mean, that's a whole separate conversation as well. Well,
that does kind of segue, actually, into our ending segment.
Okay.
So, every week, we will talk about, I call this follow, unfollow. And it can be something that you literally, on Instagram, someone you've followed and someone you've unfollowed, or just in general, some thing or topic that you like and, you know, you would follow, or something that you've decided to unfollow.
Mm-hmm.
So I can start.
Okay.
My unfollow is actually, and this might be a surprise, but it's Kendall Jenner.
What?
Yeah, and she's actually someone that I would say is my favorite, and I think that she still is my favorite of the family. I've just said, I think I've shared this with you before. I just think her Instagram is just so random.
Was it the butt picture that did it for you?
I think so. I think it was.
For context, Kendall uploaded a picture of her butt. Looking very plump, in a scantily clad, like, underwear situation, and Ashley texted me a picture and said, ugh.
I did think that was just, like, that might have, like
put, triggered,
like,
it.
Triggered it for me, but just in general, I have just this, like, realized, like, her, I know that she's, like, she's Instagramming from her brain and whatever I think I can tell that. Mm-hmm. But it's just like a random hodgepodge to me of just like sometimes ads, sometimes just like an artsy thing, sometimes like a photo she took herself. And yeah, like, I guess that is just kind of being true to who she is and what she needs to be. But in general, I haven't felt like there's a cohesive, like,
interesting theme, which, like, that's kind like something of that you expect me out of your Instagram follows.
I guess it's what I expect from a lot of celebrities. Maybe I don't follow that many celebrities on Instagram, but I think there is more of a cohesiveness that you do see in, like, Kim and Kylie and the others. Like,
do you follow all of them?
Which
Kardashians do you follow?
Actually, just Kendall, and now none of them. But wow. I will say I go to the Explore page all the time, and they come up anyway, so it's okay. Almost like I'm following them. Okay. So anyways, one thing I will say, though, but before unfollowing Kendall, and we've known that, like, Kendall is the poorest of the Kardashians in terms of her career and net worth, but she only has 80 million followers, and I was actually really disappointed with that because,
like in her?
In her, yes, like, you have so much more potential. Like, Ariana Grande is 114. Like, you can at least get to that level. So
You think?
Well, it just really spoke to me that, like, she's clearly just, like, in her own path and does not care to.
I kind of respect that.
Yeah.
But you don't. You're disappointed.
Maybe because she's my favorite. I just have so much expectation.
Okay, no, that's
for her.
Fair. That's fair.
Okay, so that's my unfollow of the week. But my follow, which I highly would recommend, or maybe you already do this, my follow of the week on Instagram is Pepper Ty 2.
Oh, I'm on that train
already.
Yeah, I've been on that train.
Oh, okay. So Pepper Ty 2, for those of you who don't know, is Chrissy Teigen's mom. Her name is Pepper. And I was led to this Instagram page because Chrissy's been shooting for her Cravings 2 cookbook this week, and mm-hmm. Gave a shout out to her mom on Instagram, and so that's when I started following, and that is where you can get
great Luna pics,
which is everything I need in life.
Yeah, and she's also adorable. I mean, I think I might have said this to you or someone. 2016 was the year that I went from being a Chrissy Teigen hater mm-hmm. to legitimately following her.
Oh,
mom
I witnessed
on Instagram.
It. We lived together.
Yeah, I was such a hater, and mm-hmm. now I love her.
I really do. And well, okay, here's the funny thing. I still don't follow Chrissy.
You don't?
I don't.
She's actually great.
I know. She has good content. Someone else that follows that I don't follow but is in my export page all the time. So I pretty much
What does it take to get you over that hump to like actually follow?
There's just certain people that I feel like I've gotten too much hype that I just like don't want to be like that person that like gives it to them.
I respect that.
Even though I click into her every time she's on the explore page.
I'm so weak. That my person for that was Kylie Jenner. Mm-hmm. And now I follow all the Kardashians.
Well, almost. Yeah, so I will say I don't follow any Kardashians anymore, I guess, but I have all followed every single one of them for at least like one period of time.
Really?
Yeah.
Even Rob? Even Chris?
Okay.
Even Caitlyn?
Okay, sorry.
Just the main sister. Yeah, okay. Okay. You have to clarify.
Totally debunked that
statement. There are a lot of them.
Okay, what are your follows and unfollows for the week?
Okay, I'm going to interpret this more loosely because I can't remember who I've actually physically unfollowed and followed.
Sure.
Well, a boring one is that I unfollowed, no one's even going to know who this is, Diggy Moreland, Bachelor contestant.
Okay, Bachelor Nation is out there.
I've slowly been unfollowing a lot of them, actually, because I think in the kind of hullabaloo of the finale, you get really excited, you want to follow them all, and they're all hanging out with each other, so you're like, this is great.
Yep.
And then I've actually really curated that so that I'm really only following ones that I find interesting and worthy. And then, so that I guess that would be my unfollow. I forgot what was my had a follow. Oh, yeah. Okay, this is not on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's actually ironic because I refuse to follow any of these people on Instagram. But Ashley, I don't know if I've talked to you about this.
Are you the one?
No, but it's related.
Okay. It's the trash one? No, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
I am so into the challenge.
Yes.
Have I talked to you about this?
No, but this is great for the podcast because, again, another area that you are so now familiar with I am not.
But in my defense, you got into Are You the One a little bit, right?
Yes, like, I did,
and it's quality television. If you're not watching it, you should be. But I think the challenge is superior on so many levels.
Whoa.
I am so passionate about the challenge.
Wait,
right now.
You were really impressed with the concept of Are You the One, and this one impressed you even more?
This one, it's not the concept, it's the sheer entertainment. Okay. I also think the people on Are You the One just get progressively dumber each season in intelligence. Like, soon they're just going to be like rocks.
Right.
But the challenge is very physical.
Okay.
So it's a lot of physical challenges.
I see.
I mean, it just makes it really entertaining. It's like watching kind of like my version of a sporting event.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, that's just so much more interesting to me. And it's just so great. There's so much drama. My friend Lizzie, shout out to Lizzie, who has literally turned me on to like so many trashy things in life. So she's been watching for a long time, and they take all of these old contestants from, like, past seasons of The Real World, past seasons of The Challenge, and so it's a lot more fun if you know all the history and backstory, which I don't.
Right.
But even not knowing it, I've been extremely entertained. And for Are You the One fans, do you remember Tori, the blonde girl?
Yeah, yeah.
She's killing it on this season of The Challenge.
How is she on it?
So they take people from Are You the One and The Real World and The Challenge, so it's a motley crew. Killing it. I just have so much respect for her.
Is she dating anyone?
She was. She was dating Derek from Are You the One. And then they were actually both on the challenge, but Derek sucked and Tori was great. So Derek got voted off real early and they're no longer dating, but they were dating on the show.
Is she still an aspiring singer?
Rapper? And yes.
Right? My bad. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyways, every episode I watch, I just feel so passionate about how good it is.
I to see you so passionate about something.
I can't even express to you. It's,
wow. More than like any scripted show on TV right now.
It is probably, so out of everything, if I were to go an entire week and not watch any TV and I'm sitting down on Saturday to watch everything on my DVR, I would say The Challenge would be top three of the things I would watch first.
That's fascinating.
Which is a high compliment.
What are the other two?
Off the top of my head, I would say Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which is back.
Okay.
And then probably a tie between, actually I'll say Superstore, which is,
Okay.
I feel like it's such an underrated show I could also go on. But guys, you should watch Superstore.
Things that are still on our DVR that remind me of you. They're like still there.
Yeah, I actually watch it off the app.
So oh. I was like, well, I guess I never canceled the recording, but I'm just like,
do you see them get watched?
Oh, no, I don't. Because I don't even click into them.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Wait, you don't watch it? Because I feel like you watch The Kardashians. No?
No, that's not me.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
That must be somebody else.
Hmm. I love Xfinity. Yeah. Their app is so superior to Spectrum. I've complained to you about this before.
Okay, well, we haven't gone sponsors yet, but one day, Xfinity.
Sponsor us. Please. And then come to the East Coast because we need you there.
Oh, you don't like Time Warner?
It's horrible.
Oh, well, I think Xfinity, well, Comcast is kind of horrible.
I know, people hate Comcast. Emily, who works at Comcast, has told me multiple times, and her friend that I met who also works at Comcast, that they've never heard anyone as passionate about Comcast as me.
That is true.
But I am so passionate about the Xfinity platform.
And the challenge.
Yeah. Although, not Comcast, I need to specify the Xfinity X1 platform.
Okay. Which you think the UI is so great.
It is amazing. Okay, oh my gosh. Come to New York and look at my DVR and look at my Spectrum app, because Time Warner is now Spectrum.
Okay.
Information you don't need to know.
Okay.
Night and day.
Okay.
Also, the voice remote. You think it's such a frivolous thing, but oh my god, I wish I had a voice remote. Like, you know we have a voice function on a remote, right?
Yes, I've started using it.
Isn't it great?
It is great. I've been thinking that doesn't save that much time, but now that you're...
But if you have a really terrible UI and you can't find the channels you ever need, then it would save you a lot of time, which is the current predicament I'm in.
That's a fair point.
So, anyways, things I'm passionate about.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe you can do follow, and I'll just rant about really obscure things like the challenge and TV streaming platforms.
I feel like I gained so much value from this just by learning what you're so passionate about. I kind of knew about the Xfinity, but I didn't know... both of those I knew about, but did not know the extent, and now I know. So, for those of you out there, Xfinity and the challenge, if you're not on it, you should get
on
it.
You really should get on it.
And Peppertide 2.
Peppertide 2. Lunapix.
Okay, that's a wrap for our first episode. Thanks for listening.
Do we have a closing tagline?
Oh, are you ready? Do you know what it is?
No.
We're taking one from another podcast.
I forget.
Oh,
see you next Thursday?
Tuesday!
Oh my gosh, I'm the worst. I'm so sorry.
Okay, so we're going to work on an ending tagline because we didn't have a chance to.
No.
Also, logo in the works, and we need a music intro.
Oh, we need a music intro.
Yeah.
Ooh, that'll be interesting.
Anyway, so for now, see you next
Tuesday.